can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and on the Air, performance number 373. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by the newest programmer at Co-op, Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and on the Air. Please stay with us.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
You did it. You saved the day. We couldn't.
It is Wednesday, August 10th, 2016. On the show today, we are joined by TexArts and their show All Shook Up. And then later on in the show, we're going to have the stage manager and the tech crew here from Summerstock Austin to tell us what that's all about. And of course, we're going to have a lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and New Orleans, Louisiana. Stick with us.
For how bravely they behaved in saving the day.
They did it!
They beat the crooks! You can never tell a book by how the cover looks!
Okay. You know why I played that song, right?
Because I passed my programming test!
You passed your programmer test! You are the newest programmer here at Co-op Radio Station, so we are so proud of you.
Yay!
Mazel tov, as my people say.
Yes, I know. I got your email.
Did I say mazel tov?
No, you said a text.
Yeah, I sent a mazel text.
You did a mazel text.
It's a mazel text.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, well, so checking in with you. How do you feel?
I feel good. I hate testing. I'm just an awful tester, but
you did good.
I did good. And the other peeps, there were three others, and you have four new exciting folks.
Excellent. Well, we are thrilled to have you. And poor, you know, I walked into the studio today, and Tracy Schultz was there, and I said, "You're fired. We don't need you as an engineer
anymore."
I still
want him to come babysit with me, though.
I know.
I got upset. I'm like, Tracy still's invited to the party.
I said, we don't need you, but we want you.
Exactly.
There you go.
Tracy Schultz is always welcome.
Let's
He's
do the
wave to us in a minute.
Official weather report is hot.
Hot.
So
yeah.
Let's introduce who's here in the studio with us. We have quite a crew. Say hello, everybody, really loud.
Hi.
See, I told you we had a crew. Jarrett Mallon is
Good
here.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Kimberly Schaefer.
Nice to meet you.
Who I like to call Susan.
Perfect. I can go by that.
Okay. Michael Carrasco.
Yo.
All right. And in no particular order, because I don't remember which one you are by looking. But I have you written down here. Riley Cox.
Hey.
Yay, right up to the microphone. Oh, let's see if this microphone works.
I was like, I have it on. Let's test it. Go up there, Riley.
I'm Riley.
Yep. Okay, good.
Riley.
It's a little low, but we'll fix that.
Yes.
Gracie Street.
Hi.
Greatest name here. No offense to anybody else. Devin Medley. Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah,
Second
sorry.
Place, third place, first oh, place. I don't know. That's a good one, too.
Medley.
And Maddie McCowan, always a fan of alliterative names.
Hi.
Well, fourth place. But
welcome.
Win.
No, I'm gonna give you, it's hard to beat Gracie Street.
I get it.
Thank you.
Sorry.
A name to remember. Right?
It is. So your equity name will probably be, you're probably good for equity, is my guess.
My dad thought he was creative.
Get right up on the microphone when you speak.
Okay.
Your dad was creative as far as I'm concerned. Okay, so what I didn't play originally before I added the congratulations songs, I was going to play something from Ragtime, because last weekend, Sunday night, I believe they had the Ragtime at Ellis Island. Is that everybody?
One night only.
One
yeah,
night only. And we hadn't talked guests. About it. The director is Sammy Knold, who does all these experiential things. She did Whatchamhoojit in a Bus. What was the Sutton Foster vehicle?
Violet.
Violet in a Bus. Kimberly, why don't you come over here to this microphone? So she does a lot of site-specific stuff, and this was Ragtime at Ellis Island. And I was a little upset when I first heard about it because they said it's invited guests only, but they didn't say...
Who was invited.
Who was invited.
Yeah. So you were like, who are these invitees?
Who wasn't invited? Turns out they held a lottery.
Yeah.
And you held a lottery, And on
so
Sunday,
you're not as angry anymore?
It's Sunday at 10. I'm not as angry. And it's gonna, and it's going to have a Broadway run.
But nice.
Can I just say, first of all, Ellis Island is such a cool place.
It is.
It is really just a cool place. And
who had ancestors that came in from Ellis Island?
I did. Hands raised.
Only two of us?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow,
you know what? You'd probably be surprised that there's more that you don't know. Because a lot of archives for our nation's ancestry and history is in this location. But you can get a National Park passport stamp while you are there. And I'm obsessed with my National Park passport.
She loves her national.
It's 100 years, National Parks this year. I am obsessed with National Parks.
Okay. Excellent.
What a cool way to see a show. Yeah. I mean, it really is a special place.
Yeah. That is cool.
And I'm jelly.
And it's I'm jelly too. And I would have liked. I almost went on to the lottery, but they don't tell you until the day of, and then you've got.
How are we?
You found out at 10. You pick up your tickets at 1, and there's no way I could fly in that fast.
And tickets went crazy fast.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I could have had my Learjet waiting.
Oh, okay. Well,
you know,
she's fancy.
I don't like to fly in Learjets. I like Gulfstreams. Well, so that was cool, and I'm looking forward. So there will be it was a concert version. It wasn't even a concert version. They did 12 songs. It was a concert. Oh. So they did 12 songs, but there's going to be a full staging of it. And Brian Stokes Mitchell, who was in the original, served as narrator.
Nice. So cool. So cool.
All right. Thanks for being on the show.
I can't believe we agreed. We so agreed. That was like a love fest.
That was a love fest to ragtime.
To parks, ragtime, Ellis Island.
Love ragtime. I typically do not read books more than once, but I accidentally read Ragtime twice.
Mm-hmm. How'd you accidentally read it?
Because I forgot that I had read it, and
until
I get
you were
back
halfway through the
I'm
book.
Going, this seems so familiar.
Musical.
And then it was the book before the musical came out. I'm
big,
old.
Big book.
There was a very interesting
That's
article
funny, Lisa.
Called Ben. You know, Ben Brantley once a year goes and spends like either a whole month or 3 weeks in London and interviews a whole bunch of London things.
People.
And so there was a interviews peeps and reviews West End shows and other. What do they call shows that aren't West End? Like
theater in
West
London,
End. Off West End, off West End, Showcase West End,
the other theater in London,
West End Waver Theaters,
West End
Waver. All these things. Anyway, he had this article that he asked people's questions, and so I'm not going to go through a lot of them. I just thought it was interesting. So, but one of the things he talks about is, you know, Kenneth Branagh is doing The Entertainer.
Oh wow,
which is pretty cool and
way cool.
The Entertainer was Laurence Olivier's signature piece. He played Archie Rice, and The Entertainer is really what launched his career. And everybody equates Kenneth Branagh to Laurence Olivier, and voila, full circle.
And voila, there you go.
Okay. Thanks for being on the show.
Ben Brantley's actually had a lot of good articles lately. He wrote another one about interviewing Babs I was laughing at.
Yeah, Babs is in the news a lot, but I've not been paying attention to it because I'm not a big Babs fan.
Oh, really?
Not,
it was really funny, though. It was an article.
I feel like that's a
crazy
statement.
You have to interview her so you can get into her house, and it was all the keys on how you should do that. And I was like,
no,
that's
way.
Funny, Ben Brantley. Because he's not normally funny to me.
No, he's not.
So
he's very serious
it,
about his...
his craft. So I found it kind of funny. I was like, oh, light article from the Ben.
Well, so James Houghton passed away a couple weeks ago, I think.
It's like two
and he was the founder
weeks?
Of the Signature Theater. And he's 57 years old.
So
he's younger than I am, which makes me angry. But there was an article about what he did with the Signature, and it bears talking about. So is everybody familiar with the Signature Theater in New York?
Yep.
So he came up with a crazy idea that he would do a season. All his seasons would be one playwright. And at the time he opened, it was American playwrights only. It just blossomed into this incredible thing. And it holds to this day. It's no longer just American playwrights. When they opened the Signature Theater Center, or whatever it's called.
The campus.
It was Atoll Fugard. They did. Oh, I did not turn off my phone, and it's ringing.
You know, at least it's show tunes and keeps within the theme.
Yeah. I don't know where it is, so it'll just play out.
It's Book of Mormon.
No, I said good. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, but it's Book of Mormon, so it's all good.
I know, I put it on there.
I know, it's you're special.
I did it by design.
Wow.
So it was a very interesting article. There's a link on it on our website. So has anybody ever met him? I know we have.
No,
I wish.
Nope.
No.
I wish.
Yeah, me too. But Kimberly and Michael, you guys live in New York now.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, good. So then you'll be you. We expect you to have answers to all the questions.
Still won't be able to meet him.
I know. I think that's passed.
Well, you could go and visit, and you know, I have the number of
There's a few mediums
that can talk to you.
There is the other realm.
Okay.
So there was also another article in the New York Times, because that's what I read, written by Michael Cerveris about their trip to Orlando and doing Fun Home, and it is worth the read. I came very close to reading the whole thing on the air, but I decided not to. It's just a magical article about
really, really is.
How he feels. Did anybody else read it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a really good thing. And to refresh the audience's memory, we talked about this.
I'm getting a little verklempt thinking about how good it is right now. I'm like, oh, man, Michael,
well, the entire Fun Home cast came to Orlando to sing a benefit for the Pulse Nightclub and Equality Florida as they fight hatred. And it was just a beautiful... Beautiful.
Beautiful. It really, yeah.
Like I said, I came very close to reading it, but I will allow other people to read it because I would love to hear him. I looked online to see if he read it somewhere out loud and recorded it.
Why don't we ask him to read it and record it?
We should.
Well, I'll get on it.
Okay.
You guys laugh at me. Watch it. Next week, maybe happen.
Who here is a dog lovers?
Everybody,
well, some people aren't.
Hello, you've met Liza Minnelli.
Another one I have. Not the Liza Minnelli, by the way.
My Liza Minnelli.
the four-legged version. And by that, I mean the one that lives here in Austin.
Yes.
Also not a huge Liza Minnelli fan.
That was the first concert.
What? Really?
Are you kidding? That was the first concert I ever went to.
Is there a reason?
I love both of the aforementioned people. I think are incredibly talented. I don't have the glowing enthusiasm that other people do.
Try going to see Liza Minnelli with her. She's like, oh yeah, okay.
Who are some of your favorites then?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Who gives you the glowing enthusiasm?
She hasn't been good like Liza. As we know it, in concert
for
years,
storm
but she's
this
still awesome.
Liza, when we saw her in concert, she needed some. She's needed that for a long time.
We should not fail these things
because Liza listens to the show.
Yeah. She's awesome.
I love Liza. I go see.
You
want to
Liza.
Be Liza?
Yeah,
with a Z.
With a Z.
Yes.
Any
day.
So, curious incident of the dog in the nighttime.
Fabulous show.
Has everybody seen it?
Yes, some of you have seen it.
Well, you know, there's a live dog that shows up at the end of the show, and it's a little golden retriever puppy. And they have gone through some 17 of them in the 2 years that it's been playing. And there's another wonderful article. Every single one of these dogs has been adopted by either someone in the company or someone in theater attached somewhere closely
they
to the company.
They kept it like Annie and used adopted and rescued dogs Sandy started a tradition.
It's the Broadway Barks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This was
long before Broadway Barks. Annie started this.
Yeah.
Okay. Annie has always been a rescue dog since the original production
That's
of
amazing.
Annie.
But actually, Curious Incidents doesn't use rescue dogs.
They get other dogs, but then they give them away.
So they do go because they have to be... They have to look like a
certain
breed, and they go to breeders. But they are taken and housed and adopted by people. And there was one of the actors that played what's the lead character's name? Somebody.
The boy.
Anyway, played him who had something that he wasn't terribly comfortable around dogs, and so every time they would get a new dog, and they said they went through 16 of them because they have to fit in a box. And as soon as they stop fitting
big,
in the box,
yeah.
out of there, you get fired.
Happens to kids on Broadway,
like,
too.
A child actor, this
like
poor
the
dog.
It does. Finding Neverland.
He would bring them home for two nights when on their first day of work.
To bond.
And he would have been bond with them. And the interesting thing was
they
did
a lot of goodbyes. That would make me sad.
Because they're puppies, they can't really be trained. Mm-hmm. So the dog is given, as far as blocking goes, a lot of leeway.
Yeah.
And so the dog sort of takes that scene and does with it what they want.
We never asked Ben about the dog. We should have asked Ben in our interview about the dog.
Yeah. So I do it very quickly. And did you see this?
What it's like to be married to the villain of Broadway?
Yes,
yes I know.
So Paige Davis and Patrick Page, who've both been on this show.
They're friends of ours.
And personal friends of ours, had this lovely interview in Playbill.
And it's really...
There's really no surprises, but they're a lovely couple. And I was actually just with them a few weeks ago, and they were just silly together.
They're so silly. Yeah. And he really does play villains, which is why I think I loved him so much in Casa Valentina.
The interesting thing
so different
about this is she met him when he played Luminaire, which is like the anti-villain.
They met in Beauty and the Beast, isn't that funny?
And since Luminaire... He's gone villain.
Hardcore villain.
He's gone rogue.
Rollo, the Grinch.
The
Green and Goblin. Scar.
Scar.
Which is one of the best characters.
Hunchback. He was the villain dude in Hunchback. I mean, he's the villain. Except for Casa Valentina. Lovely.
Speaking of Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, who likes Julie Taymor?
We love the Julie.
Oh, come on. I like Julie.
She's about to come back.
She's like
next
a mad
year.
She's about to come back.
Do you know what it is?
I don't want to say. You say.
I know what it is. Do you know? Okay. Is it Aida?
No.
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 Is it okay, it's M. Butterfly.
Yes. M. Butterfly.
It's M. Okay, Butterfly. So she's coming back. It's M. Butterfly.
Did you work on that?
Did you work on
a version?
No, but I have a story around the Lithgow version of it in 88.
Oh yes, that's what it is. I'm like, I knew there was a tie with that with you.
It's a story. It's a whole other story.
But see, I'm not crazy. I was
You're not crazy,
properly.
But very good.
That's all.
But I'm very excited to see her back on. And the article, so that she had said that she was going to come back to Broadway next year, but she didn't say what. And Riddle The Post wrote an article and said, I know what it is. And I thought it was actually sort of interesting. And we sort of take him with a grain of salt in general anyway. But he said, you know, I was really hard on her during Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
I think she got a bad rep. During that.
Don't know. We actually don't know. I know someone that worked on it. I know one of the stage managers on it. So you get a lot of different stories.
Yeah.
But nobody can take away her genius.
Oh, of course.
Right. That's true. No.
People I know that were in the show don't have bad things to say about her.
No,
so
it's more just the critics and reviews and stuff.
Well, yeah, I've had I know people that, I mean, of course, they're coming from the management side of things,
right.
Not from. But also in this article in the Post, and there's a link to it, has got a piece of, and I got to remember the show, London Road. Nope, sorry, not London Road. Yes, this is London Road. But what show did she do 2 years ago that was just so great? Who's got Puck? What's Puck in?
Midsummer Night's Dream.
She did a production of Midsummer Night's Dream, and there's a piece of that. They videotaped it, and you see a little piece of it, there's a link to it. It looks amazing.
She's just genius.
And it's going to come out in September.
Oh, great.
That's really cool.
No. Yeah, I think
this September?
This other one. No, I think it's this one that's going to come out in September. London Road, which is not Julie Taymor. It's a BBC film version of this. It's a musical. It's a documentary done to music. It's depressing about six prostitutes were killed in a small town in London.
Oh, how fun!
And it's a documentary.
It's very uplifting, Michael.
We have, you know, there's lots of shows that aren't Next to Normal, Parade, Assassins. We can name them off. Okay, you ready for the quiz?
Let's face it. Cabaret's not really uplifting.
No,
but
correct.
But I love that show so much.
It's my favorite show. I'm just saying. Uplifting doesn't have to be good.
Who wrote that show?
Greatest composers of all time, longest American composing duo, one Kander and Ebb.
She loves
that.
She loves
a really good intro.
You don't listen to the show. You haven't heard me say that.
Right, it's a cassette tape.
Times.
All you have to do is press play and it comes out.
Got it.
Okay, so y'all ready for the quiz?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I did not do well on the quiz.
Okay.
I did. I got one out of five.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And I thought that I was going to get 5 out of 5. And then went, I was not very smart. So here it is. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Whose only line in his first play was "Tennis, anyone?" And your choices are James Cagney, John Wayne, or Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, y'all are right. I said John Wayne. What year was actress Judi Dench born? 1924, 34, or 44?
1894.
Oh my God! I am gonna try.
I was
like,
that's
just me.
34. I say 34.
Yeah, y'all are doing much better than me.
Yes.
What won the best musical in 2009? Shrek, In the Heights, or Billy Elliot?
In the Heights.
That's what I said, but it was Billy Elliot.
Oh,
oh no!
Yeah, I think it was 2009 for In the Heights. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's a trick question.
Yeah. Okay. Which musical did Broadway actress Glenn Verdon, who died in 2000, not win a Tony Award?
Okay.
So she did not win.
Did not.
Was it Sweet Charity, Can-Can, or Damn Yankees?
Can-Can.
No, it was Sweet Charity, actually.
I think it's Sweet Charity.
I think it was Sweet Charity.
It is. I could have sworn she won for Sweet Charity.
No, that was the whole thing. It was the big scandal.
That was one of her best roles, though.
Yeah. Wow. And that was part of why they put McClane in the movie, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. I was lucky enough to take class with her the year before she died.
Oh, no.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
How great was that?
It was
Did
amazing.
You Fosse it up?
Oh, of course.
Did you do a lot of Fosse?
Of course.
Awesome. Okay, Tammy Grimes played the principal role. Oh, and by the way, speaking of Sweet Charity, you know, it's off-Broadway... production with Sutton Foster, and they just announced a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah.
I can't remember the names, but high-powered Broadway people.
I have a lot of friends in it.
Yeah. I have problems with Sweet Charity, just because it's not a good message for young girls. The message at the end is not very powerful.
I can agree on that.
It is a message that a
but
woman.
But as a dancer, I love
oh,
it.
It's a great show. The music is wonderful, but
God
the
bless
message
my
it
mother. Even as a is, teen, she let me go. She took me to see it in the 80s. Fosse's last revival.
The message that it says to young girls is you are nothing without a man.
Yeah, it totally does.
And it's wrong. So yeah. Let that be a lesson.
There's a lot of musicals.
Yeah, a lot of musicals
have
that message.
Yeah, it's true. But this one,
that are just
I think
for
Grease has that
because
same
it ends in such a downer level on that note. Even okay, so final because we're running out of time. Yourself. Tammy Grimes played the principal role, and I'm not going to give you choices in this one. In which Broadway musical 1960?
Say it again.
Tammy Grimes played the principal role in which Broadway musical in 1960?
Silk Stockings.
Okay, I'll give you choices. Happy Town, Fiorello, or The Unsinkable Molly Brown?
What was the first one?
Happy Town, Happy Fiorello, Town. Or The Unsinkable Molly
well,
Brown?
I'd say Molly Brown.
Molly Brown, I'm surprised you already know that. Maybe that's just, I sort of grew up with Molly Brown. You know what, we're not going to do the quiz.
Okay.
Can we do another quiz of shows pre-1975? Post-1975, right?
Oh, yeah. We
might know those.
Yeah. We're going to do one. I'm going to talk about one last thing. So those of you, is anybody old enough to remember records, vinyl records?
I am.
Now,
did you have, like, skips in your records?
Yes, of course. It's the best.
Go ahead and play this.
Big tall house with rooms by the dozen, right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with a real wooden floor, 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 with a real.
It's a perfect skip.
I grew up with that, and so whenever I hear this song, my mind goes to that skip, and I've got skips in Hair, I've got skips in every single
skips
musical
skips are
in
my superstar. My mom's original superstar album that has major skips in it.
I've just been meaning to think about that, because whenever I hear Rich Man, my mind at that
mine will too.
There you go.
Well,
now they
party.
Sometimes put stuff like that in the shows. Like Drowsy Chaperone has a skip.
That's true.
In the show, which is amazing.
That's true. All right, we got to take a little break. So now we'll hear a little bit of Ragtime during that break. We'll be right back.
There was no music.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We are talking to the folks from TexArts, and I'm not going to just go through the litany of names because there's a million of them, and we're about to reintroduce anybody anyway. So let's just do that right now. Jarrett Mallon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Kimberly Susan Schaefer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
Michael Kid Carrasco.
Hey, how you
welcome
doing?
Welcome back. What's that from, Kid Carrasco? Is that an actual person?
I
feel like it
that.
Is.
But it's
if
from
not,
something.
It's probably a
Riley
wrestler.
Cox. Welcome back.
Hey.
Gracie Street.
Hi.
Devin Medley.
Hello, hello.
Devin Medley, now my favorite name.
Yes! Ranking up there.
Maddie McCowan.
Hi.
Okay, so we're here to talk about All Shook Up, which had a little Broadway run.
About 13 years ago, 2005?
Yeah, around then.
2005 with Cheyenne Jackson.
Cheyenne Jackson.
Amazing. So tell us about this show. Somebody.
Well, it came out around a time when it was really cool to kind of not be into what is called jukebox musicals. But unlike those shows...
It's a jukebox musical that's pre-jukebox musical.
Ish. This is more of a catalog piece because they've taken this huge catalog of Elvis Presley and sort of woven them around a 1950s version of 12th Night.
Elvis who? I'm not familiar.
The King.
The King. Uh-huh. Not a fan.
Oh,
I'm
here
teasing.
We go.
I'm teasing.
Another
I love it.
No, I'm going to come with
pitchforks. Another one.
I am totally teasing. No, I totally remember the day he died. It was a big day for me. Go ahead.
But in this show, the songs are doing what they should do in musical theater, which is common and progress the plot,
okay.
Unlike traditional jukebox musicals.
Yeah. Well, but No, I was going to lie. I was about to look at you and lie. I was about to say Jersey Boys does that, but it absolutely does not. No, so never not. Mind.
Still a great show, though.
Yeah. Great show. So yeah. There's a narrative, though, with this show, is
sure,
there not?
Yeah, sure.
So what's the story?
Well, it's based on, like we said, Shakespeare's Twelfth Night and some of his other comedies. So it's a...
waiting for Thirteenth Night to come out, by the way.
Thirteenth Night. It's very... a lot of mistaken identity. It's a story that takes place in a very square town in a square state in the middle of a square decade.
L7?
Yes. Okay.
I will explain that if you'd like.
Right.
You know what? I will explain L7 at Backstage at Offstage.
I wish we had a camera for the face he gave you. Like, oh, sure.
I am going to explain L7 at Backstage.
I will remind you.
Go.
So the roustabout, played by our friend Chad the Kid Carrasco, comes to town and realizes everyone's kind of depressed, lonely, not in love, broken. And he brings the music to town, and with that, everyone in town starts falling in love, but they're not falling in love with each other. There's, you know, one character is falling in love with the other, but that character is falling in love with that one, and so there's a lot
it's
of
a love mix-up.
Love mix-up, yeah.
Things get all shook up.
They get all shook up, as you
would
say.
Easiest way to inspire people who are down and out is to sing and... gyrate.
Which is what the king did best.
Yeah.
Yes.
At least early Elvis did. Gyrating in his latter years was a little frightening. Right? What? Say, we.
Do we have music for you guys?
Yes, we do. Oh. It's right. No, it's there.
Dun,
it's
dun,
there.
Dun.
Oh my God.
Did you put it in? You put
it's
it in
next
the
on the list. Oh. Next there.
She put it in the mix. But normally it's separate.
Me.
You scared me.
You scared
we scared each other.
So what we like to say here on Offstage and on the Air, because we engineer our own shows, you get to see how the sausage is made. So if we have any like technical questions, we just ask them on the air.
That wasn't technical. That was just a joke. Like, that was planned.
It was
I wrote this. It was our scare segment.
I totally
that was
went
perfect.
There. Just out of curiosity, Jared, did you bring a CD just in case I didn't have it here?
I didn't, but I have it on my phone.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
see, it's there. We could have done
it's
that,
there.
Too.
Okay. I have it on my phone, but I've lost my phone. I can't find it.
We'll call it.
Well,
it'll
we know
sing
it's here.
Us.
Okay. When did we lose control of the show? I'd say right now.
We're all
sure. So I saw on your website, there's a lovely little, not on the website, on the Facebook page. Jared, I think you posted something saying this is what this great cast looks like. And there's a rehearsal picture, video of y'all singing. And big cast. How many people
in this
cast?
Yeah, we have 17 in the cast.
Wow.
17, yeah. And that's pared down from what it, you know,
it usually
Broadway.
Is way bigger big, than that.
I was going to say, if I remember, it is a big cast.
Because we actually have a slightly smaller ensemble. Than usual.
Right.
But still,
and it's not a huge stage out there at Texas.
No.
So, Kimberly, I ask you as choreographer, how fun was that?
It was really fun. I actually liked the challenge, you know, coming up with different ways of formations.
Do a lot of this.
In and out. No, they're dancing 100% full out.
Lisa's doing this.
I did not hold back at all, let me tell you.
Cool. Well, did you give them some of those Gwen Verdon moves?
Because
you took class with her right before she passed away.
Well, that's true, but that's more for a Fosse-esque show. So this is a little bit more 1950s, you know, the jerk, the twist,
don't
all
I
the
remember
famous
all
Elvis
that.
Moves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, let's hear a little bit, shall we?
Yeah. Sure.
You ready?
Sounds great.
Okay, so here we go. This is, hold on just a second, I've got to introduce you. You need to set this up as to when this happens in the show. Do you?
It's actually the opening of the show. We start off with a bang. We are shot out of a cannon. And Chad, I was going to say Elvis, the Elvis character Chad is being released from a woman's prison.
Well, of course.
To teach him a lesson. and it sets up his journey out on the road to the next town.
Okay, this is Michael Carrasco singing a number from TexArts production of All Shook Up.
One threw a party in the county jail. Prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. Should have heard those knocked out jailbirds sing. Let's rock, oh baby, let's rock. Everybody in the whole cell block was dancing to the jailhouse rock. Spider Murphy on the tenor saxophone. Little Joe's blowing on the slide trombone. The drummer boy from Illinois goes crash, boom, bang. Whole rhythm section attraction was a purple gang. Let's rock.
Rock, rock.
Oh, baby, let's rock.
Rock, jail, rock, rock. In the jailhouse.
Everybody in the whole cell block was dancing to the jailhouse rock. Number 47 said to number 3.
You're the cutest jailbird I ever did see.
I sure would be delighted with your company.
Come on and do the jailhouse rock with me. Let's rock.
Rock, rock, rock.
Oh, baby, let's rock.
Rock, jail, rock, rock.
Oh, yeah.
Jailhouse.
Everybody in the whole cell block was dancing to the jailhouse rock.
Sad sap was sitting on a block of stone, way over in the corner weeping all alone. Warden says, hey, buddy, don't you be no square.
You can't find a partner, use a wooden chair.
Let's rock, 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 rock.
Oh, baby, let's rock.
Rock, 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 rock.
Everybody in the whole cell block.
Let's dance to the jailhouse rock.
Come on.
You guys did great. Applause,
yeah.
Applause.
Yeah.
What fun. So actually, we're going to take a quick little tangent here. Before we got started, who was it that gave me the number? It was Devin gave me a number between 1 and 45. What did you say, Devin?
I said 7 because it rhymes with Devin.
7 rhymes with Devin. Let's see what it is.
Hi, I'm Ben Main with the cast of South Pacific, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
Ben,
we haven't heard that
Ben
one
Main,
in a while.
We have not heard that one in a while, so congratulations. We have a lot of those, and we just sort of
randomly go through.
So that is fun. So that's clearly we had a couple of dance breaks in there.
Oh yeah, lots of dancing.
Right away from the top of the show.
Right away.
You were even dancing, Lisa.
I was dancing, and I do not dance. I was an actor who sings and moves well. You know what that means, right? An actor who can barely carry a tune and can't dance at all. Ladies, what's it feel like to be in this show?
Well, this is my professional TechSarts debut, so it's been really fun to work.
Let me get you to get a little closer to the microphone.
Okay.
There you go. There you are.
This is my professional TechSarts debut.
And tell folks who you are.
I'm Gracie Street.
Right.
And so it's been really fun to work with adults and work at their speed. And this is such a fun show with such high energy. So it's been really exciting.
So let me get this straight. These three people here in front of me, they're adults?
Apparently.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Lisa, the one
just
thing
at rehearsal.
The one thing about TechSarts is it's cool. It's also we have the academy.
Correct.
So we pull a lot of our...
In case you were wondering, you're right.
Yes. Yes, we do. We pull a lot of our ensemble kids from our academy. So these young ladies are high school students who are hanging with the big guys and doing very well.
Awesome.
At
great.
It.
What? So this is actually sort of running a theme here because later on we're going to be talking to the stage manager from Summer Stock Austin. So what grades are you guys in? Just go down the line.
Hello. Hi. Devin Medley, and I'm a senior at the University of Texas in Austin.
Yeah, heard about that place. That's not high school, by the way. I'm just going to clear it.
Devin is not
high
school.
Well, she's our one college.
I'm the adult child.
Yeah. Okay. Clearly, you act so mature, too.
I'm Gracie, and I'm a junior in high school.
I'm Riley. I am also a junior in high school.
I'm Maddie, and I'm a senior in high school.
So are y'all rising juniors and seniors?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, see, we love saying that because we just learned it a few years ago.
Yes.
We
use that. One of the teams.
So we're really plumb out of time, I think. But where can folks go to get more information about the show?
At tex-arts.org.
And where you're in what's the word? Lake Travis is
Lakeway,
what I'm trying to say. Lakeway.
Yes,
that's what I'm trying to say.
The village of Lakeway.
And it's really nice. And so I think it's a really good idea for folks to get in their car, then go out there and make a day of it.
Definitely. Wonderful restaurants out
there. Maybe you go out to Hippie Hollow. Hang out there, and then you come. You're like a little toasted, and you watch the show. What do you think?
Exactly.
Sounds
good
perfect.
Idea?
You will the way. Fry like bacon outside.
You will fry like So when do you open? You haven't opened
we
yet.
We open on Friday.
Are y'all
ready?
Oh, yes. You're so ready. Okay. And how long do you play?
Through August 21st.
So weekends only?
Eight performances.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much
thank
for
you.
Being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay. That was Jarrett Mallon, Kimberly Schaefer, Michael Caruso, Carrasco. Oh, wow. Riley Cox, Gracie Street, Devin Medley, and Maddie McCowan of Tex Arts production of All Shook Up, August 12th through 21st at the Tex Arts Theater. For more information, tex-arts.org. And we'll be right back. Oh, well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. Guys, don't go away because I'm about to ask you a question. Okay. We talked about it last week, and I'm just going to re-emphasize it because it's this. It's on the 14th. The unified. Oh, you probably can't. The unified auditions are happening.
Yeah.
Do y'all have? Are y'all going to those?
Not yet.
Woo! I was like, that was a Jersey fist pump.
That was a Jersey fist pump.
What are those?
So, Jared, is anybody from Tex Arts going to observe those?
We are not observing them.
You are not
this
observing
year.
This
no.
year. Okay.
No.
You observed 1 year.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I've several years.
Yeah.
And I organized it for 2 years. Back when
we called it
the Texas State Auditions, and we did it at the State Theater.
Yes,
nice.
Yes.
And that was before the flood.
I remember that.
Pre-flood, PF, as we like to call it. So do you want to talk about anything locally? Did you have anything?
Do I have some stuff? Yeah, you know what? And it's so funny, Jarrett, you reminded me of this too. Buyer and Seller is closing this week, speaking
of
Barbra Streisand.
There you go.
And
I love Barbra Streisand.
We last saw each other in the lobby before that show.
I really, really enjoyed that show.
It is. It's about the Barbra Streisand really does have a mall in her basement.
She really does.
It is true.
I've shopped
there. It's
for
her baubles and trinkets. And it's a little play job.
She has got the best Claire's in that mall.
Oh, and it's an imagination of if an unemployed actor was working in the basement of her mall. I love it. I think it's great. But that closes this weekend. And
so that's something to see over at Zach Theater. And you can find information about that at zachtheater.org.
You can, along with other information on other stuff going on at nowplayingaustin.com.
And nowplayingaustin.com. So I got a communication from Mr. Michael McKelvey the other day.
What did Mr. Michael McDoctor?
Dr. McKelvey.
He has his doctor.
Dr. Mr. Productions, who are bringing back last year their B. Iden Payne award winning production of Silence.
I know. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Bringing it back, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something
different and exciting?
Well, slightly different and exciting. We're going to give away 2 tickets to opening night.
Whoa. Nice.
Which is, not just opening night. We've got 2 tickets for the first week.
Oh, I guess. So there's options.
The opening weekend. So that's the weekend of the 18th. So anytime that weekend, we're going to give away 2 tickets, and here's how you win them. You want to know?
How, Lisa? How would you win those tickets?
You just be the very first caller at the number I'm about to give, and nobody in the studio is eligible, unfortunately.
Aww. They all pulled out their phones, though. Diligent they were.
I'm going to give that number out right before we go to break, because it's just going to time out that way.
That sounds good.
We're
going to
time it that way. So I'll give the number out right before we go to break.
Okay.
But before we do that, we are going to talk about today in theater history.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, 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 dun. This is the birthday of Jerome Todorov. 1911. Jarrett, you remember back then, right?
Yes.
It's a blistery year.
Wow.
He wrote the play My Sister Eileen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so still more crickets, right?
Yeah.
How about Wonderful Town?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so that was later adapted into Wonderful Town, he won a Tony Award for that.
Okay.
Other plays include The Anniversary Waltz, Junior Miss, and The Girl in the Pink Tights.
Girl in the Pink Tights.
Yes, I know her.
I was that girl.
This is also the anniversary of the death of James O'Neill, father of Eugene O'Neill, who was an actor in his own right. He's best known for his tour of The Count of Monte Cristo, which is well chronicled in A Long Day's Journey Tonight.
Yes.
Sing? Okay. I was about to say resurrected, but that's not the word I'm trying to
come up with. No, but I like resurrected.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I like resurrected better.
In this case, resurrected is probably apropos.
Either one.
I totally
either
like resurrected.
Works.
Thank you, Kimberly. So let's see. So, this is interesting. 1942. Paul Robeson opens in the title role of Othello at Brattle Hall Summer Theater in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Well, what's interesting about that, and it's sort of sad that it happened in 1942, he's the very first African-American person to play Othello on the stage in the United States.
That's insane.
What? That's wonderful.
That is insane, though.
It's not wonderful. It's wrong. 42? It took that long? Othello's been around about 3 years longer than that.
Yeah.
I think he wrote Othello in 1930s. Okay. No. It's Shakespeare.
I was laughing.
It's sort of sad.
No, 1942 seems wrong.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. 1983, I did not know about this. Does everybody remember, do you all know who John G. Gordon Liddy was? I don't know if it's
yes.
Like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so he was the Secretary of State in the Nixon administration, mm-hmm. or not Secretary of State, he was, I had him mixed up with Haig. He was part of the whole Watergate thing. He had been auditioning for the role of Uncle Ben in the revival of Death of a Salesman.
Really?
He did not get it.
Obviously.
A spokesman for the production makes a statement saying it had to do with ability and talent. It had nothing to do with politics.
Oh, okay. That's hilarious.
I think that's funny.
Yes.
So speaking of Dr. Mista, in 2001, Debbie Does Dallas...
I love that show.
That's
opened
old.
At the Fringe Festival.
I love that show.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that old.
Well, it went. Now I feel it really went. Old. That's when it opened at the Fringe Festival. It opened off Broadway later.
Okay.
And then this is also the anniversary of the death of Mickey Rooney.
Oh,
wow! Yeah.
Tony Award nominee for Sugar Babies.
Yeah.
And also the anniversary of the death in 2008 of George Firth. Mm. So there you go. We'll leave this on a high. Oh no, there's more
people that gone that long.
Me either. Oh, another death, unfortunately. Edie Gourmet in 2013 on this day.
Aww, just pushes us Edie. All closer to that line.
But it's the birthday.
Bon anniversaire.
Jack Haley.
Hey.
Eddie Fisher.
Yay.
Zing. And one Antonio Banderas, who I've just made Italian.
I was like, you just made him Italian. And if you saw his Guido in 9, there was definitely no Italian accent going on there.
So,
but it worked. It was okay.
So let's listen to a song from A Wonderful Town. Oh, wait. Okay, I'm going to give you that. For the two tickets to opening weekend of Silence, be the first person to call 512-472-5667. 512-472-KOOP. We'll be right back.
Here you see Christopher Street, typical spot in
We are back. You are still listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. Nicole, I was able to go sit in the booth at Summerstock Austin during a production of Carnival.
I know. You texted me. I was a little
jelly. I know. Well, and I was, you know how I'm sort of a tough audience, right?
Yes.
I was so impressed, not only by the production, which was really, really wonderful with lots of moving parts, and it was directed by Scott Thompson. Thank you. Directed by Scott Thompson of AMT fame.
Yeah,
he did a great job. And I sat in the booth with the stage manager, sat right next to the stage manager, and of course, you know that's my background. So I was hypercritical of the stage manager and the way he did everything. His name is Tyler Larson, and he did an awesome job. He did things the way I would do it, so I'm very proud. And so I was able to interview him as well as the assistant lighting designer who was running the board that night, and his name is Justin Beats, and as well as other crew people that just came in during the interview. So why don't we go ahead and listen to that?
Sounds good.
I'm going to break in here for a moment and tell you that the audio quality on the next section is not the greatest. I will also tell you that it is 100% Lisa Sheps' fault. So I apologize. So please listen to this interview. Enjoy the content, if not the audio quality. Enjoy. All right, hello, everybody. I'm here at the Long Center on the Rollins stage. I'm in the tech booth, where Tyler Larson is the stage manager about to call the opening cues for Carnival for Summerstock Austin. So that's all I'm going to say right now. So, you know, the show must go on.
Sing, Rosalie! Raise that gold!
Well, the curtain has just come down on Carnival, the story of a hapless young woman trying to find love in the dark and dingy Carnival.
No, I'm just kidding. That's actually the way I usually start my backstage at Offstage Session. But indeed, the curtain did just come down on Summerstock Austin's production of Carnival, and I was lucky enough to sit in the booth, listen to the call from the stage manager, Tyler Larson, and the board op and assistant lighting designer, Justin Beats, and they're here with me, and we're sitting in the booth right now, and you hear lots of cacophony going on in the back. So, Tyler, Justin, hello.
Hello.
Wait, hold on.
How
are you? They're clapping for us.
Stop it.
I mean, how are you guys?
I'm good. It's always a little tiring after, but it's it's a lot of just got to watch and go and play off other people.
Well, Tyler, you got to work out. I mean, this is a tough show to call and one of a relatively complex show to call.
I mean, yep. There was always the moments in tech where I'm just sitting there going, oh, wait, because we loaded in, and then it was just, we always talked about all the moments that we were going to be doing in rehearsal, and then just seeing it come into fruition, just come into tech, and it's just like, oh, wait, that's here now. Oh, wait, that's here now. Oh, wait, hold on. You're telling me that's not it? And it's just a lot of moving parts.
Excellent. Well, actually, I want to circle back and get all these kind of details, but let's get to the super duper nitty gritty first of all. So you shared with me before we went on the air that you have just graduated college. Is that correct?
Yes, from Texas State University.
Right, which has got a great theater department. And Justin, we did not talk. So what's your scoop? Are you still in school? You just graduated?
Tyler and I actually just graduated together from the same program, Texas State University, just this past May. And it's uncanny, it's unreal, and we're out here in the real world, and it's fun. And Tyler and I have worked together on
this is our fourth
project.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's been my stage manager and for my lighting designs for two shows. So we've done a couple of different things.
Go ahead, we can pause it. I can edit this out.
You guys can come on in.
Come on in.
Just go ahead and pop a squat.
I thought we were getting a chance.
Yeah, we are, but we have to wait for all the photos.
Okay, we've just been joined by somebody, so pop on over here. What's your name?
I am Ben Roberts.
Ben Roberts, what do you do with the show? Wait, hold on, you've got a headlight on, so it's something in the dark.
Yes, in this show, I rig curtains, and I work a spotlight, and in the Addams Family, I play Gomez.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. I saw you play Gomez. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. That's great. That's one of the things that we love about Summerstock Austin, is you guys wear a lot of hats, and as I've been told, and as I talked to you, Tyler, yes, my career was built because I learned a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So tell us, first of all, what does a stage manager do?
Well, that's actually a very difficult question to answer because it's a very long and lengthy one with many aspects. We are basically the liaisons of communication between every single theatrical department, whether that be acting, directing, lighting, sound, scenic, props. And then once we actually are then the timekeepers and then keeper of schedule throughout the rehearsal process. Once we get into the tech process, we maintain that kind of keepers of time and schedule and planning and presets. But then we also get into one of our bigger aspects, which is calling the show and working with all the different departments to make sure all the elements are combining and then creating the director's vision. And then, of course, once we get into performances, we are then up in the booth calling the show, making sure everything works.
So you're sort of like the hub of the wheel, as it were.
Yes.
It would not roll without you.
No.
Nothing would always happen without him. He's the person we call if anything.
So one of the things I've always said is if you notice the stage manager, they're not doing a very good job.
I completely agree with that. I'm actually, if we mess up in any way, we're the people that you're usually walking out going, oh man, that lighting just wasn't working for me, or that sound was just.
Review is a good review. That's what we say.
Yes.
It's a good point. And so, Justin, you are a lighting designer?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We came into this, Scott Vandenberg, who's the actual lighting designer for all three of the shows that we're doing here in Austin Summerstock. He and I have worked together for a couple of years, and he brought me in and he said, I want you to be my assistant. We're also going to be doing a lot of spotlight things, and you're going to be helping me throughout. So, yeah, we've definitely had a plug, lots of multiple holes, and it's been quite an experience, especially with this show, because it's a classic musical, and when you think about a musical kind of like this, or at least when I read it and when I first thought about it, I was thinking of the old-style musical where it's usually kind of dim, usually mostly spotlights, there's not a lot of flair, but... The director, Scott, is actually brilliant, and he really revamped it in a way that I actually never saw the show, and now it's a fantastical, really huge illusion, and it's just beautiful. And I, every night I'm so excited about the different aspects I actually get to see.
Awesome. So tell me what you guys got out of this program. I know that this is your first year to do it, right, Tyler?
Yes. And pretty much what I got out of it was this is my first experience to work in true repertory theater. And not only is it repertory, but it's also summer stock. So it's twice as much punch, twice as much go, because we actually what we do every time we close down the show is then we go into our changeover for the next shows coming up. So, and it's also a very abbreviated process. So where I would usually get all the time and finesse, this was all just push, 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 go, 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 which was awesome and just a brand new experience for me.
Awesome. And what about you?
I would agree. We really have to change over everything. And coming from a lighting standpoint, having to make one plot, one light plot, work for three different shows was quite a challenge ourselves. So just now, right after they're finished taking some photos, we're about to change over all of our lights and all of our set over to the Addams Family. So to do that, we go through a multitude of like different textures and different gobos and different colors that we have to go through.
So you are changing colors and gobos. Are you refocusing?
We don't really refocus too much. We have all the lights for like special moments, but the most thing that we really focus is like sharpness or softness. And for those special lights, we have like little lines that go across the lights that we are like, okay, it goes to this one. On this night, it goes to a yellow line.
Explain to folks what you mean by line. What is it? What are you looking on the light for line? How do we know how to change the focus or the sharpness?
Sure. So yeah, there's these little like metal kind of like platelets that you put into the light to give it like a kind of a pattern or a design. And at the front of it, there's at the front of the light, there's a barrel that kind of goes in and out that you can adjust. And something that I always learned was forward fuzzy, backward blobby. So with this barrel, once you push it forward a little bit, it makes the texture that you put in it kind of fuzzy. And if you take it back, it makes it kind of blobby. So it really makes it sharp. Sure.
Yes, we can.
So we're always working here at the theater. There's stuff going on. So they've just been called to do something. So so that is amazing. Come on, remind me your name again.
I'm Ben.
Ben. So what year have you done Summer Stock Austin before?
Yes, this is my third year being in the company. And it's, you know, my sister has done the company for the last 4 years. So it's been part of my life for a long time.
Awesome. So you clearly are a performer and a technician.
Yes, that's what summer stock does to you.
So I assume that the majority of what you are is a performer.
Well, in other theaters, yes, but at summer stock, it's, you know, you're fully, once the shows start, you are fully divided, you know, between.
Got it. But for you as a, as an individual, what have you learned from, well, for instance, I was told point blank, I tell this story a lot, by an actor who said he did not need to know anything else about theater other than his little part. But what have you learned by doing some of the other things around theater, like tech?
Well, I've learned that when you get into technical rehearsals and you start moving into the space, the act theater that you're working in, those rehearsals are really for the technicians. And as an actor, you have to have all of your lines, all of your blocking memorized perfectly so that they can do their job, which is so much harder than any of us would have imagined. I mean, like, it's there's a million things going on at once, and it's a really cool experience to see both sides of it.
Awesome. We've just been joined by three other people. Shout out your names.
Haley Boswell.
Molly Burris.
Hannah Roberts.
And what are you guys doing with this show?
We are spot off. Yeah.
Spot operators.
This is, yes. Spot ups. Which is spot one?
Spot one.
Spot two.
Spot two.
And spot three.
Spot three.
Which one was the one front of house or back of upstage? You had one. There was one upstage, right? Spot three.
Spot three and four.
Oh, and four.
Yeah.
Spot four. Say spot four.
I'm spot four.
Awesome. Well, cool. So what would you say to people that go to the theater that come and watch and don't see all this kind of stuff that's going on backstage? What would you want to just say to them if you had the opportunity?
I would just say that while you're watching the show that's on stage, there is literally completely and separate other show that's happening off stage with all of us and our moving all the props, the scenic elements, all the lighting changes, and like where you're hearing all the actors, we hear all the actors and all the other technicians in our ears. So we almost get to live both at the same time.
Awesome. So at the end of every segment on my show, we go out with a piece of music from the show. So if y'all had to choose a song from this show to go out on, what would it be? And don't say Love Makes the World Go Round.
Cirque de Paris.
Cirque de Paris.
Or like Yes, My Heart is one of my
favorites. Oh, yeah. Cirque de Paris or Yes, My Heart. Maybe I'll do them both. You never know.
Well, thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Best of luck in whatever you guys do, and I know you guys will be dynamite because y'all are working your little pineys off, right? Awesome. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Cirque de Paris. Wake up, everybody.
Oh, I guess we're done.
Oh, I thought you were saying fade out. Oh,
well, well
oh,
we
sorry.
Just did, so why not?
Oh,
it was a lovely fade out.
I was trying to make it like it the best of the best.
It was a lovely fade out.
Did I win a gold?
You did. You won a gold.
Who needs to go
so
to Rio?
We did another hour.
We did.
This is fun. So this was your first stint at engineering as a full-fledged programmer. How'd it feel?
It felt like it does normally when you babysit me.
Give her a vocal jersey fist bump.
Woo. 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 Woo.
Woo. Vocal was the woo. Was the keyword.
Kind of
so remember, folks, like us on Facebook because we need we
please.
Have a tweet us on Twitter.
Tweet.
Stitch us on Stitcher.
Stitch.
Tune in us on the TuneIn-us.
Yes, we're on the TuneIn.
We're on TuneIn.
Yes.
And then if you also want to get the podcast.
It's really, you need to get the podcast.
You need to
it's
get
the
podcast.
Way.
That way you get to listen to Backstage at Offstage.
Right. And
you get the answer to the quiz that we didn't do today.
No, but that's okay. We that's could do okay. The whole thing on Backstage and then there's really a good
not
reason.
Today we can't, but we could
we
in
could.
Other times.
We're wild and crazy.
So how can folks get us?
Best way, go to offstageonair.com and enter your email in the little box. And Lisa and I just appear in your mailbox.
Every Thursday.
Don't have to look for us.
Whether you like us or not.
We arrive. We're your friendly stalkers.
So if you're listening on the radio, stand by for Austin Monitor News. They are next. If you're listening on the podcast, and we've talked about this, you should be.
Yes, exactly.
We'll be joining you backstage very soon. Join us next week when Nicole and I will look at what's happening backstage, offstage and on the air. And this is a special thing, again, from Carnival. This is actually the composer, Bob Merrill, singing Mira.
I came on two buses and a train. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
Okay, the curtain has just come down on Crowds the Musical, the story of a hapless group of performers trying to do a good job in the city of Lake Travis and being successful at it. Zing!
Zing! You are in a zing mode this week.
We are zingy. So everybody that was with us is still with us, so I'm going to go back and reintroduce Kimberly Schaefer.
Hello, hello.
Notice I didn't call you Susan until just then. Now I did call you Susan. Jarrett Mallon.
Hi.
And Jarrett, have I pronounced your
that
name correctly
so
the whole time?
That is so correct.
I am so good. I love myself. Okay, I'm not going to remember who's who. But wait, let me stop. Okay, you're Devin. You're Madden. Maddie. No. Yeah, Maddie McCowan.
Yep, that's me.
Right into the microphone.
That is me.
Okay, remember, you need to turn it towards you if you're going to share. There you go. Say it again so everybody can hear you.
I'm Maddie.
You're Maddie. And Gracie Street.
Hi.
And Devin Medley.
Hello, hello.
And Riley Cox.
Hey.
And finally, Michael Kid Carrasco.
Hey, how you doing?
We have to find out. We're going to have to Google
Kid
Carrasco. Is he a boxer?
It's from something.
Or is it King Carrasco?
King Carrasco.
But I still don't know what it's from.
He's actually King Carrasco. It's good that we're asking. Is playing at the co-op birthday party this year.
Oh,
there you
here
go.
You go. That's why it's top of mind. So here we are backstage. Welcome to backstage. I hope you don't mind that we're here amongst the dumpsters in the parking lot behind the theater.
It's perfect.
We love it.
It's perfect. I have one thing before we start. Yes? I'm supposed to remind you when we're
on
here.
Oh, to tell the story. Which story? Which one?
About the L thing.
Oh, L7. Yes. L7. Okay, so I'm aging myself because it comes from one of the Gidget movies.
Who?
From the Do you know what I'm talking about? The Gidget
Do you really
movies?
Know what you're
okay, there were the surfer movies
okay.
That had King Daddy, what was his?
Moondoggy.
Moondoggy and other people. So it was L7. One of the little hipster kids was saying to the older guy, you're very L7. And he goes, L7, what do you mean? And this is sort of a visual. He said, L7. 7, and you put them together, and it's square. That's it.
There was
okay.
a group called L7 back in the...
Because they're square.
I'm going to say late 80s, early 90s.
It's hip to be square.
Dun, dun, dun.
Kimberly, tell me about you. You live in New York.
Yes, I do. I live in Hell's Kitchen.
On 45th Street.
Yes, I do. 45th and 9th.
What's the address and zip code, please?
Ah, I can't do that. Now I'm going to get stalkers.
Mother's maiden name. Social Security. So are you a choreographer in general, or are you a performer and a choreographer?
I actually do both. I started as a performer, and just throughout the years, I've done choreography as well. So I kind of do half and half, and you know, as I get older, probably focus more on the choreography.
So let me ask you a question. As a working theater professional in New York City, when you are not doing a show, what are you doing?
I'm working to get my next show. So. Right. Taking classes, auditioning.
I guess, what was that first thing that you said?
Taking classes.
Taking classes, which is something that I like to impress upon our Austin actors to do.
It's a big deal.
You have to keep training.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah,
it's
a never-ending story.
The demands change.
And no matter what age you're at, you should always keep growing, because no matter what, you can just get better and more creative and... There's always things to work on.
Well, it's also, don't you feel like when you were younger and you look at material, you have a different perspective on it? And then when you're older and you revisit it, you have even more
100%
perspective on it.
Yes.
So if you take these tools of training in between, shazam!
You get
that's
older,
a technical
too,
term.
your character type gets different, too.
Uh-huh.
So, like, as I'm aging up, there's definitely more things that I'm going to be doing differently.
That are different.
You're a belter.
I am a belter.
Yeah, you can tell that just by talking to you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So
I do the Anytime Annie, you know, 8-0 Annie's roles. Yep.
That would be the role I'd want to do.
8-0
Annie? I could
Annie?
Totally see you doing
yes.
that.
What fun would that be? What?
Totally
that would be the only role
shows.
In that show that I would want to do. Well, Curly may be fun. Not Curly. Judd.
Yeah, right.
Judd.
Why not?
That's just so
Judd.
Like,
I could do it. I could do it. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Orleans.
Woo!
Yeah.
Are you from New Orleans?
I'm from Thibodeau, which is in the middle of nowhere.
I know where Thibodeau is.
But it's like an hour.
But it's Louisiana.
That's Maddie McCowan speaking, by the way. So yeah, so did you do theater? Do you live there now?
No, I moved here about 7 years ago.
You moved to the Co-op Studios?
She yes,
did. She's
I
been
live,
living in the wow. back here. Cubby.
Didn't you know?
And
you seen me around.
It's so surprising. I just don't pay attention.
But yes, I started theater when I was in Louisiana, and then when my family moved here, we moved straight to TxArts.
Straight to TxArts.
And now I live there.
Lovely.
It's a place to be.
And Jared's is. Like, she does.
And Jared, we didn't talk about this on the radio portion of the show, but you're the executive director there.
Yes,
correct.
Executive director.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You have and the artistic director
is Darren Gibson.
But I'm guessing y'all work pretty closely together.
We do. The way it's set up at TxArts is we have kind of two branches. We have the Academy. So Darren's the artistic director over the programming of the Academy, and I'm the executive producer of the professional series. So we do work hand in hand every day.
Lovely. That's good. And I was going to come up with some snarky thing, but I decided not to say it.
So don't go there.
I didn't go there.
Don't go there.
I didn't go there.
Be nice to Jared.
It wasn't mean.
Well,
it was snarky.
No snark.
Could be fun.
He could snark you right back, lady.
Where did you grow up, Jared?
I grew up in Georgetown.
Texas or Texas. The other one?
Uh-huh. Georgetown,
that
Texas.
That must be very different now
oh, it
than
was.
When you were growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, very much a small town.
But you spent some time
town.
In New York. You
yeah,
moved
I
away.
Was in New York for about 9 years. Yeah. That's where Kimberly and I met doing Will Rogers Follies.
Will Rogers Follies?
Yeah.
With Tommy Toon?
Not with Tommy, but yeah. Kimberly works with Tommy now as his associate.
Oh, that's right. I knew that. I auditioned for Tommy Toon.
Oh, what show?
Cloud Nine.
Oh, okay.
Did you really?
Yes. Yeah. I did not get the. I was a stage manager, and so I knew the PSM. He wanted an assistant stage manager, but the assistant stage manager had to understudy. So I long since had gotten out of performing, and so I had to audition, and he said no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did.
He
get,
has an absolute dream to
I
work.
I got the job later. He's a genius, by the way.
He
so
is.
When
really
I read
is.
Cloud Nine, so this was the original production of it. Uh-huh. So it had never been performed before. And for those listening, Carol Churchill wrote it. She's amazing. But when you read it, you go, "This sucks." And he did such a good job with that. He made that show what it is.
He's
I think
Tommy freaking Toon.
Yeah, and it didn't suck. Clearly, I just didn't have a vision. so it all comes back to me.
as it should.
Yeah. So did you do theater in Georgetown? Did you do Georgetown Palace?
I didn't start. No. The Georgetown Palace was a movie theater when I was growing up.
Well, because you're old. You're like 60?
I am. About 61.
61.
I didn't start performing until I was 29.
Oh,
get out! So what was the click in, at 29 that goes, I'm going to get on the stage? I mean, that's a lot
of... We don't get that here
at the time.
Often.
At the time I was working, I'd graduated from Texas Tech, was working there as in school relations and started my master's degree there and was taking a couple of electives in theater and just loved it. And had always grown up going to see stuff at Bass and at Zach at Southwestern. And so I always loved theater, just was kind of scared to do it. My dad was a baseball coach at Southwestern, and that just wasn't what...
Did you play baseball?
When I was little, but not in college. And so that wasn't what the baseball coaches said, always did. And so I kind of said, you know what, I can kind of sing, so I'm going to audition for this Kiss Me, Kate show, and I got in it. And
that's phenomenal. Awesome.
A year later, I was in NYU's master's program in vocal performance.
What year were you there?
I graduated in 05.
After you, darling.
No, I was wondering if Dion, but Dion was in the master's program right about, I think, going in 05 or 06.
So, Michael.
How you doing?
I'm good. What's your story? Where'd you grow up?
Well, my family's on my father's side of the family, I guess, is all military. I'm the only
one.
You
grew up everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm the only one with this name in our family.
Oh, interesting.
Who isn't in the military. I sing and dance.
So do they, if you like, you know, if you look at what...
It's a totally different way, yeah.
Yep. Holiday Inn, which is coming to Broadway again.
Yes.
Wow. Military
but that
singers.
That background made it very easy for me to travel the provinces on tours or regional gigs
travel
like this.
Travel the provinces. Yeah. That phrase, you do turn a phrase. So how did you find yourself in theater coming from an army? Pull that microphone towards you.
Well, like Jared, I actually started really late. I didn't do my first even community theater show until I was about 22.
Wow.
I think boys are a little spoiled. We can start later and jump right in. But
girls can do it if they don't want to dance.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that dancing
that's
part.
True.
That's the dancing part that kills you.
But unless you're Misty Copeland and you're 13 at the YMCA and just a genius.
She's unbelievable.
So, I mean, never say never.
Yeah. It's a good time.
All right, so how'd you get there?
How did I get there? How did I get here to TexArts?
Yeah, you know, how did you find your way to theater at 22?
Well, you know what? It just was fun to be all these different characters for a couple hours. So I got the bug and I went to school in Florida. And then found my way to New York, like everybody else who wants to do theater. And you go to New York, and you leave New York when you get gigs. And then you go back to New York to get other gigs. And it's just the nature of the business. You got to go where the work is. I've done cruise ships and theme parks and regional and film and TV and national tours. I did the national tour of Greece with Frankie Avalon, who was in the film.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was in the Beach Bum. Frankie Avalon may have been the one that said L7.
Oh, look at that.
It may very well have been Frankie Avalon.
I was about
Avalon.
To say,
may have.
That wouldn't surprise me.
So, ladies, y'all are all high school and college.
Yes.
Are we going to be professional theater people when we get out of wherever we're getting?
That's the plan. Yeah. That is the goal.
Okay. And Devin, did you study? Were you in the School of Theater at UT?
Hi. Yes. So I am in the theater.
You cracked me.
She cracks me up. She pulls it right up and turns out yes. I wish we had a camera going.
So embarrassing. Hi. Okay. Yes, I am at the theater and dance department at the University of Texas at Austin. I'm emphasis in musical theater. I'm also a double major in history as well.
Well, who wouldn't be? Actually, that's a great double major for a theater person.
Like, that
it's
great. Really
you can
is.
Study
that
ragtime.
Really, really cool. So I am part of the EMC currently. And here's my deal. I'm not planning to move to New York until I have that equity card.
Okay.
But plans are...
Is that a good idea?
It's just different for everyone.
It's different for everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of non-union work in New York, though. You can make a living for sure.
And that equity card is, the equity card is can be good and bad at times, but I don't think you necessarily need to have it when you get there. I mean, it was a catch-22 when I got
my
card.
And now there's so many tours, first nationals going out non-union.
I think the equity card is...
That's not necessarily a good thing for the industry.
No, it's not.
I think the equity card is the when you want to be considered for Broadway, when you reach the point of that's where you're at in your life, and that's the only thing that you really want to be considered for, that's when you need to have your equity card.
Yeah.
But like Michael said, most of the tours are going non-equity nowadays.
A lot of
them. So.
But even, that's a whole other conversation.
That is, absolutely.
Whole other thing.
But I'm ready for some more life experience before I even think about New York and even being in All Shook Up.
You going to stay in Austin?
Maybe. Cool. I'm not sure.
We have a pretty vibrant theater scene
here.
There's
a lot of theater here. From New York, I was shocked. It's really amazing.
I was too when I first moved
here.
It's
very eclectic and vibrant and,
Yep. Okay, so Maddie. Maddie, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Actually,
that is me.
Okay, no, didn't we? We already know where you came from, New Orleans, and you did theater in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Where? You know, I'm going right back to Gracie.
Yes.
Because we already talked to you.
Okay, bye.
No, we'll talk to you again.
Hi.
What's your story?
Well, I was born and raised Austin, Texas, or Highland Park. They moved 3 months, and I've been in the same house ever since.
Uh-huh.
But
what school?
Lake Travis High School.
Lake Travis High School. And Maddie, what high school are you?
I go to St. Andrews.
St. Andrews. I saw. Were y'all part of the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards?
Yes, we were.
What shows did you do?
We did Les Mis.
Les Mis. Didn't see it.
We did Anything Goes.
Saw it.
You saw it?
Yep. I'm an adjudicator. Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
I tech and do theater at my school, so I ended up teching Anything Goes.
Good for you.
That's
so
awesome.
We go to school together. Who went to Anything Goes?
Riley and I go to school together. Or we went
at St. Andrews.
School moving schools this coming year.
Oh.
Leaving me.
How dare you? So what school are you in now? What school are you going to?
I'm going to this small private school called ASA.
I love that one.
No comment.
So what are your college plans? Let's end this on a college note. Do y'all have college plans?
Well,
I'm going to take this.
Maddie is the senior, so I am hardcore entering the college audition process starting right now.
Do they audition for theater schools? You have to audition these days?
Very competitive. It's a whole industry.
I had to audition in the 80s.
I did not audition in the 70s.
Most of them you have to travel to the place.
Yeah.
So I travel to 8, 9 different colleges. Wow.
So did I. I went to college late 80s and I had to go travel everywhere. I just signed
the paper and I said, come on, because we can tell you're good.
Well, the good thing is how a lot of representatives will go to Moonifieds and Unifieds, and so that clears a bunch of them out the way, but then especially after and
so where do you want to go?
I'm applying to 24 schools.
Uh-huh. If you got to choose?
Dream school.
The dream school is Elon.
Elon. I'm not familiar with Elon.
They have beautiful voices.
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Which is my, really I love.
That's not North Carolina School of the Arts.
Mm-hmm. No. North Carolina School of the Arts is North Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do I know? Well, good. I'm glad. What about you two, Gracie and Riley?
I'm going to be incoming junior, so I kind of just solidified my plans of doing musical theater. So I don't know what kind of schools I'm looking for yet. That's kind of what this year's
school. You think you're going to do theater, though?
Yes.
And Riley?
I'm currently making my list, but definitely theater.
Awesome. Well, I am pleased. And tell me, so you did tech. Do you like to do tech as well?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it a lot. It actually helps me understand what goes on besides the actual performing.
Thank you for saying that, because I say it to so many people. I know you're an actor, but you need to go and learn the other side.
It's important for you guys to do absolutely everything.
Thank you as a student to say that.
Riley did props for our youth production of Forum this summer and was the best prop designer I think I've ever hired. Seriously.
Awesome.
You rock on. Okay, so by consensus, the four of you. We usually end with a song at this point. What song should we end with? What should we be listening to right now underneath what I'm saying right now? And you've got less than 2 seconds to come up with it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Listen,
no, okay.
Blue suede shoes.
Hamilton.
Blue suede shoes.
Hamilton. No, we are overloaded in Hamilton. Can't do it. But I think I'm sort of enjoying the blue suede shoes that we're listening to.
It'll really get you in the vibe. It'll get you ready.
So, and this is the Elvis version that we're listening to. Of course, you can tell that. It's not from the show.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's great. Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Bye, everybody.
I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind.